How you guys doing? All right. Thanks for having me. It's always neat to talk to men that come to just grow in the Lord. Very important. You guys are not only the heads of your homes, but the Bible says that the church is to be run by the men. God is not politically correct. God is just scriptural, and He sets the rules. And gentlemen, you have the awesome responsibility for your wives, for your children, and to run the church. You guys were created first, and God has placed that importance upon you. And the thing is that the only way you can know what it is that God has for you and to be sure of it is by one way, to know the Word of God and to know the authority behind the Word of God. So to study the Word of God, not simply for knowledge and information, but it's for me to have confidence in God and what He says He can do for me and through me. It's like being a soldier. You train with your weapon. You become familiar with it. So when you go on battle, there's no doubt what that thing can do. And you depend upon it. You put your life before it. Very important. So I want to speak to you tonight about the Bible. God's Word or man's Word? This is where your faith is going to flourish or it's going to fail. One of the two. Let me pray. Father, thank You for Your grace and love, Your goodness. We pray You give us wisdom. And Lord, as we look to just some facts about Your Bible, the revelation of Your Word, Lord, and Father, what You've given to us and what we're to know about it, that You may be honored. And so, Lord, I pray for every one of these gentlemen, Your hand be upon them. Lord, You would prepare them for their homes, the church, and the work You have for them. We love You, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Peter Stoner. In his little book, Science Speaks, and it's out of print, but if you can find it somewhere, pick it up. It was published in 1963, and it opens up with the preface saying the following. Listen carefully. A generation ago, before 1963, there were dire discrepancies between Genesis chapter 1 and finding of science, and especially was the true of astronomy. The attack of the critics came upon and primarily through the sciences, and the faith of many young people were wrecked because they thought the Bible was in serious error and therefore could no longer be trusted. Now you remember the first attack in Genesis. Satan says, "Has God said?" Every attack upon your life and my life is going to come back to what has God said. So I need to know what the Bible says and to have confidence in that authority. Jesus said two important things. Be careful what you hear and how you hear. Today, people are being deceived because they're not examining what they hear and how they're hearing. They're judging it by their emotions, by the politically correctness, by the liberalness, and not by the standard of God's Word. If you any guys work construction, you know that when you draw your strings and you draw a plumb line, that is the line. That is straight. You don't say, "Well, I think that's it." No, the plumb line is always straight. The plumb line will tell you everything is crooked. The Bible is the plumb line. It's going to tell you when you're off, when other people are off, and it's very, very important. And so since that time, tremendous advances have been made in science. And if you stop and think about the amount of scientists, probably 85% of the scientists that have ever been alive in our own lifetime from the past century on. So the knowledge has increased so much, and true science never contradicts the Bible, but theories of science, of evolution, and all of this, those are theories. They're not proven. Simple definition of biology 101. It has to be observed, and it can be duplicated in a lab. Evolution has never been observed. It cannot be duplicated in the lab. Therefore, it's not science. It's real simple. You don't need a PhD, okay? It's real simple, okay? So, with the growing opposition, antagonism, and rejection of God of the Bible. And so many people don't know how to answer the questions of others because they don't know the Word of God. So what I want to do tonight is I want to point you to the Word of God to give you some familiarity with what the Bible is and what it claims, so that when you walk out of here tonight, gentlemen, that you know that this is your weapon. This is your foundation. This is the only thing by which you can trust and judge everything in life. Not your feelings, not your emotions, not your circumstance, not the situation. What's the first thing people say when they're on TV, the news, or anything? How do you feel? God doesn't care how you feel. He says, what do you know about me? And once you know who God is, then you let your emotions catch up to your knowledge in God. You don't make decisions on your emotions and the circumstance because you make stupid decisions. You make it based on God's objective truth. So let me give you the qualifications of God's Word. First, let me give you some of the claims of the Bible. The Bible is God's revelation. Revelation is the act of God whereby He makes Himself known in truth in special times to specific people. So in the beginning, He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What a great place to place that in the first verse. Right in the beginning, He tells you that He created. He's not asking for your opinion. He's not trying to persuade you. He's just telling you this is the way it is. You can take it or leave it. Wow. Two chapters of creation. Really, one chapter of creation. Details in second. A scientist would have written 100 volumes on creation. God just says, I created it. It was void. It was messed up. The Spirit moved. This is what I did the first day, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and then the seventh, I rested. Wow. And He spoke everything out of nothing. Why? Because He's God. Not one bit of science ever contradicts the Bible. Once again, hypotheses do. They talk about the Big Bang. The only Big Bang is in their head. Okay? Because the Big Bang, who caused it? Cause and effect. Somebody had to do it, right? But there's no Big Bang. And so you have to ask those basic questions. Now, there's general revelation, creation, science, and history. The Bible tells us. From those three, you and I are without excuse in Romans chapter 1 and 2. That tells you there's a God. You see this watch right here? Would you believe that I spend the day with Terry up at his house, and then my wife and his wife, and on the way down, coming down the 210, there was a car in front of us, and it blew up, and this thing just landed on my wrist from the explosion. Explosions don't create, they destroy. What you're saying, you're contradicting that can be proven by science. Simple. There's also special revelation, which is important. Now, general revelation, creation, conscience, and history tells you there's a God. But special revelation, the gospel, tells you that God loves you, He died for you, and that He can forgive you of your sin, and that you need to be saved because you're a sinner in rebellion and an enemy of God. And that you're not good, but you're good for nothing. Wow. Now God says, now do you agree with me or you disagree with me? Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? That's a rhetorical question, one answer. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. You can't say yes. If you get yes, then you get F in the subject of the Bible. So I agree with what God reveals about me. If you hang out with people that tell you how good you are all the time, get some real friends. People that confront you. Tell you, don't be a jerk, man. What are you doing? Where are you going? Those are people that love you. They're going to confront you. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. The Bible is the inspired word of God. The inspiration is that you are able to trust God's word because it is God's ability to not only reveal the word of God, but to preserve the word of God inerrant and infallible. That means there's no mistakes in it. Now, the majority of seminaries and college, Christian colleges today and churches do not believe in the inerrancy and infallibility of the Word of God. Two big words. That means that there's no mistake. Now, we don't have any original autographs or manuscripts. We have copies of copies. Okay? But the copies we have, the percentage of them, I'm going to give you some statistics, that we are sure that we have 99.99 of the original. The minor things that are missing in a letter or stuff like that never change or affect the sense, okay? Very important. Because God says that His Word would never pass away. Well, not one jot, one tittle, one little marking shall pass, but everything will be fulfilled. So either God is lying or He's telling the truth, okay? So I've got to judge truth by what God has revealed. And so inspiration deals with the recording of the Scriptures. Now, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Theopneustos, God breathed, literally expired from God. And it's profitable for doctrine, correction, instruction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So, this Bible God has given to you and me so that you may be confident that it's a revelation of Himself, about Him, about Satan, about sin, about you, about any topic He touches, and it's absolutely true. And the inspiration guarantees the authenticity of its inerrancy, able to maintain the integrity of God's character. Wow! God's revelation. There's no way we can know anything about God, sin, Satan, redemption, or even how the world was created unless God revealed it. No other way. And so the Scriptures are inspired of God. They weren't from any origin or impulse of man. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. So in other words, Peter didn't get up one morning and say, you know, I think I'll write a book today. But the Spirit of God came upon him and literally carried him to write those things. Now, he had the freedom of speech to choose the words, but the Spirit of God guided him. So he wasn't a robot. And when you read Peter, you see the difference between Peter. And when you read Paul, you see the difference between Paul. But it's yet God's Word. You know, I can write my name with a blue pen. I can write my name with a black pen. I can write my name with a red pen. But really, who wrote all three? Me. The pens were just the instruments, right? That's all they were. So the originator of the Word is God in His revelation using different instruments. The Bible is the Word of God. And Scripture declares over 3,800 times in the Old Testament, we read such things like, thus saith the Word of the Lord came to me. The Lord said, write, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. I will be with your mouth and teach you what you say. Exodus 4:12 and many others. On and on and on. God said, God said, do this. God told Ezekiel, eat the scroll. God said, Jeremiah, don't speak. If you speak, I'm not, if you pray for these people, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Wow. The Lord Jesus believed it was the Word of God. He's the highest authority. He never doubted any error or implied error in the manuscript, ever. He's the highest authority. So when PhDs at Fuller Seminary or the other seminaries tell you, and Fuller Seminary is right down the street from where I am, and I have people walk out all the time because I criticize it, call it Fuller Cemetery. And, Jesus is the highest authority. Not one time did He ever imply that. He spoke of Noah. He spoke of Adam and Eve. He spoke of Cain. He spoke of Sodom and Gomorrah. He spoke of Moses, Isaiah, all the prophets. He accepted the Old Testament history, the kings, and declared them to be God's Word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away. Matthew 5:18. Now, who are you going to believe? A pastor? A PhD? Or Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ. If that pastor aligns himself with what Jesus is saying, then I'm going to believe that pastor. But I'm going to examine that pastor by the words of Jesus. Very important. If you take the 13 claims about creation in Genesis chapter 1, the chance factor of Moses guessing the proper order is one chance in 311,351,040. Dr. Stoner, who used to teach at PCC in the 60s with the chance of probability. There's enough chance. Didn't just happen by chance. Impossible. So every person that ever reads the Bible and hears the claims of the Bible must make a decision to evaluate the Bible. Either it is God's word or it's man's word. You can't. There's no other choice. If I choose to receive it as God's word, then I receive the truth about myself, that I'm a sinner in rebellion against God, in need of a Savior, and that Jesus, the Savior of the world, the only one that can forgive me and transform my heart and can make me a godly man. If I believe in man, then I think I've got it in me. And the more I try, the more I mess up. And the more I think I'm good, the more I deceive myself. And time will prove one or the other. Time is the test of all things, gentlemen. Every person has to make a decision on the content of the Bible as they, is it mere stories, embellishments, or are they accurate events that God has declared to warn and to teach us? If I take them as silly stories, then I will mock and dismiss them as God's revelation. And many people do. If I embrace them as truth, then they will cause me to identify with sinful man and with a Savior who can save sinful man. And that's the whole purpose of the Bible. And so these are some of the claims of the Bible. I have to make a judgment on them. Is what I'm reading true? Or is it just an exaggeration? Is this God's word? Or is this man's word? If I believe it's God's word, then I will have all the confidence to proclaim that word to others because it's not mine. But the one who created everything, the one who created me, the one who created you. The transmission of the Bible, writing is known to have existed as early as 4,000, 5,000 BC in Egypt. So a lot of people say, well, the Bible is recent, it's not that old, really. Wow. The materials vary, some of stone, clay, wood, and grease, and all of these can be found in Deuteronomy and through the scriptures. Leather was well known to be used, either a vellum of calf skin. Papyrus was in Egypt, and they would dry it out and weave it together and stamp it, and then, but it was real brittle. So leather and vellum and parchment was the most common and the most durable. The meticulous care of the scriptures, the way they transcribed it, is amazing also. They counted the words and the letters of each book. You want to start with Isaiah, 66 chapters? The scribes counted every word, every letter. They calculated the middle verse, and then they marked it in the book. The middle verse of the Pentateuch, the first five books, is Leviticus 8:7. The middle verse of the Bible is Jeremiah 6:7 in the Hebrew text. They marked verse with all letters of the alphabet. The synagogue rolls had to be written in skins of clean animals. They fastened them together with strings taken from clean animals. Each skin had to contain a certain number of columns equal throughout. This is how they transcribe the scriptures. They didn't have printing presses. They hand wrote them. All of them. The breadth had to consist of 30 letters. The entire copy had to first be lined. If three words were written without a line, the scroll would be worthless. Can you imagine getting to the last chapter of Isaiah? It'll start all over again. The ink was to be black, not red, not green, or any other color, according to recipe. And the authentic copy was the exemplar. In other words, they didn't have printing presses, so the younger was the most valuable. The older was less valuable because it was starting to decay. So the newer one became more valuable. Today, we put the greater value on something antique because it's worth more money. In those days, the newer one's more valuable because it'll last us longer. Okay? The eyes were never to leave the scroll regarding the writing. Between consonants, there was to be a space of a hair breadth. Between new sections, space of nine consonants. Between every book, three lines. And the fifth book of Moses must end exactly with a line, but the rest did not. The copiers had to wear full Jewish dress. Copiers had to bathe the entire body. The name of God had to be written with a new pen, and he had to wash. Do you know how many times the name of God is mentioned in Isaiah? You know how many times he had to wash? This is how much they honored and revered God's word, gentlemen. We just pick up a Bible, we don't think anything of it. Those scrolls they rejected for being inferior or a mistake, they would burn them or bury them or banish them to the schools of the prophets. Wow. The manuscript evidence of the Bible, many times people will tell you, well, you know, we really don't know because we can't confirm it. They've never done any study about it. They're speaking through their ear. The Bible has an overwhelming number of copies. It has more manuscript evidence than the 10 pieces of the classical literature. A.T. Robertson, the New Testament scholar, declared we have, and listen carefully, the following. 8,000 manuscripts of Latin Vulgate, 1,000 earlier versions, 4,000 Greek manuscripts, 13,000 portions. Most, if not all, the New Testament can be reproduced from the early writers, not even using the Bible. Warfield and Philip Scholl both declared that the word has been transmitted to us with no or next to no variations. In fact, each misspelled word, you got to be careful with your footnotes on your Bible, because you understand now that all the printing companies, the publishing companies, they used to be Christian, have been bought up by pagans, secular companies. So they don't check the theology, they don't care what's put in there. And many of your notes and my notes, you may see sometimes say this is not found in the best of manuscripts. They tell you on your footnote. Or this verse is not found in the best of manuscripts. They're talking about Sinaiticus, Vaticanus, and maybe one more. But what your footnote doesn't tell you is, but it is found in 5,000 other text receptus. So they lie. You can lie by telling half a truth, by not telling the truth, or twisting the truth, okay? So you need to do your homework. Every misspelled word is counted in every manuscript. So if there are 3,000 manuscripts, that would account for 3,000 variations. You have one question on a letter, they will say 3,000 because there's 3,000 copies. That's not what it's not true. So they want to put doubt in your mind that you can't trust this Bible. You see? So liars can figure, but you know, they just figure how to lie. That's all they do. The Bible compared to other authors and past wins hands down. Listen carefully, okay? Because they always tell you, well, you the Bible can't be sure. The Bible has been written in the latter part of the first century, as you know. The seven plays of Sophocles are accepted as authentic texts in every college, okay? Every university. Yet the manuscripts are 1,400 years after his death. The Bible was written. Jesus died in 33. The Bible was written by 95. 1,400 years, and no professor ever doubts any of that. Wow. The history of Thucydides from 460 to 400 BC is known to us by only 8 manuscripts. The earliest, 900 AD. That's crazy. The history of Herodotus, 888 to 428 BC, no one doubts them, yet the earliest manuscript we have is 1,300 years after. The Bible is written closer than any of these things, hands down. Has more manuscripts. Only 8? We have over 5,000. Wow. Most mistakes and variations, as I said, in spelling, are in spelling and style, 98 or 33 pure, because we have copies of copies. But, you know, if you lost a letter, let me just give you an example. If you lost a letter, you wrote a letter to your brother or your mom or your dad, and then you made 8 copies, and you wanted it to your family, so you sent them to 8 members of your family, and you lost the original, and you wanted to find out what you wrote. So you call your relatives in the next 10 years, you still have that letter, and 5 of them have it, 3 don't. And so they would send you a copy of those 5. And they did it maybe through photocopy, and because the ink wasn't right, you know, you'd compare them. And this one looks like an L, but over here looks like a T. But because you know English, you can distinguish what word it is, right? You can reproduce that letter 100% with accuracy from those copies. It's real simple, gentlemen. Dr. Stoner, taking the same chance of probability of 13 time items in Genesis 1 of 3,011,351,040, where did Moses get the 13 things to arrange them in the order? Did Moses know about dark nebulae so that he could write a perfect description of one in verse 2? That is absurd. For the greatest of the scientists, having many photographs of dark nebulae, never guessed one existed until about 40 years ago. That is from 1963. Wow. That would have been 1923. It is estimated that about 100 billion people lived from the day of Moses before anyone knew what a description meant. We should say then that he did not have more than one chance in 100 billion of being able to describe a dark nebulae. You're a mathematician, you can come up with the same chance of probability. Now, do you think the Bible is just coincidence? I don't think so. How often people that you speak about say, oh man, there's kinds of errors in the Bible, contradictions. Next time they do that, get your Bible, say, okay, here it is, show me one. A bunch of liars. They've never read the Bible. They just have some fun. Say, why don't you turn to the book of Noel? They'll be there looking forever because there's no book of Noel. They don't know. They're like drunk parents just repeating the lies that everybody's told them. They haven't done their homework. And if Christians don't do their homework, then they get intimidated and they walk away depressed. How often have you heard the response, well, there are many translations and interpretations of the Bible? Tell them the Bible interprets the Bible. Not man. You must take the Bible in its context, the cultural background, and the original language. And you will find out exactly what it meant to those people that day. Every letter was written to a set people at a set time for a set purpose and situation. It was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. It's got a grammatical structure. It's very specific. And when you do your exposition and look at that, and you can do that without knowing Greek and Hebrew or Aramaic, if you get a good Bible translation, you have a New King James, you have an excellent translation, and you can get to the true meaning of the text. Once you know what it meant to them, now you can make application to your day. Sometimes straight across, sometimes it has to be in principle. I'll give you the example, like in the Corinthian church. They had the temple of Aphrodite there. You had a bunch of prostitutes that worked for the temple. And at night they would come down and sell their goodies to the guys. And Paul the Apostle tells them, ladies, hey, listen, ladies, I know you're free in Christ, but, you know, you guys put a veil on your head. And they say, we don't want to put a veil on our head, because the veil on the head meant I have a husband. Because Paul says they're going to mistake you for one of the prostitutes that come down. And they say, we don't want it. They say, well, then why don't you shave your head? I don't want to shave my head. They put the veil on. Now, if we had a temple of Aphrodite here in Rialto, Terry Price, hey, ladies, make sure you wear your veil on the way to church. Not because you're holy, but because we don't want people to mistake you. But there isn't a temple of Aphrodite here, right? So what do? We say, ladies, whatever you do, honor God and your head, your husband, how you dress, how you speak, how you handle yourself. In principle, you guys understand what I'm saying? So when it can be applied straight across, great. When not, then in principle. But first we find out what it meant to them. Then we can say, how do we apply it here? Okay? Very important. You cannot make application until you've done the exposition. Too many pastors, too many teachers on the wacko Christian radio and TV, all they do is they talk. And they don't expound the Word of God. They tell stories, they tell jokes. God help them. You're supposed to feed the Word of God wheat, not cotton candy. Very, very important. And so the evidence involves the transmission of the Bible of the highest integrity. What you guys have is God's inerrant, infallible Word, gentlemen. What God tells you, He's not exaggerating. Let me give you some of the uniqueness of the Bible. The Bible contains 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. The Bible is written over a 1,600-year span. It is written by 40 authors. The Bible has a red thread from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus Christ the Messiah. From Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, all the way to the end of Revelation, the Alpha, the Omega. Okay. The instruments used were common men, fishermen, statesmen, collectors of tax collecting, herdsmen, military generals, doctors, and rabbis. All over. The Bible was written from different places. Moses in the wilderness, Jeremiah in the dungeon, Ezekiel in Babylon captivity, Daniel from Shushan the palace, David in Jerusalem, Paul from prison in the mission field, Luke interviewed the travelers, written in times of war, peace, prosperity, and poverty. Written from three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. Written in three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Wow. The Bible contains eyewitness accounts of the Old Testament as well as the New. The Bible contains law, history, poetry, prophecy in the Old Testament. The New Testament also history, prophecy, and Acts, the book of Revelation. The Bible deals with law, civil, criminal, ethical, ritual, moral, sanitary. That's the Pentateuch. The epistles and the New Testament with the same thing. The Bible gives us an account of war, treaties, biographies, records of kings. And He gives you this king reigned at this time with this king, and he reigned at this year, this guy. Why did He give you all that stuff? You say, man, this does complain. Because He wants you to do your homework, compare them, and show you that they match perfectly. Every time you add a detail, you take a chance of making a mistake. Perfectly. The Bible records kings in their chronological order. Their contemporary reigns. And so the persecution and the destructibility of the Bible is a testimony to God's ability to maintain the Bible and to protect it. In 303 AD, Diocletian gave a command to destroy the Christian and the Bible. He made a medal thinking he had succeeded. It said, the Christian religion is destroyed and the worship of the gods, small g, restored. 25 years later, Constantine had Eusebius prepare 50 copies of the scriptures at the government's expense. Tyndale was strangled and burned at the stake. With his last breath, he prayed, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. The Inquisition took the Bible from the people. It survived the critics, the emperors, the popes, the kings. Many said the Pentateuch had to have been written after Moses because there was no known writing until they found the detailed law of Hammurabi that predating Moses and Abraham. And God always does stuff like that. The scholars, well, you know, we can't believe it, but we don't know if there was any Hittite dynasty, and God gets some archaeologists to go dig something up. There's no archaeological find that has ever been found that contradicts the Bible. It only verifies it. The so-called higher critics said there was no Hittite dynasty, as I said. But through archaeology, it was known a 1,200-year span of Hittite dynasty now. Amazing. Daniel was disputed until the Elephantine Papyrus was discovered. By the way, the Bible was the first book taken to outer space on microfilm and read from the dark side of the moon. Amazing. The longest telegram from New York, the New Testament, to Chicago. It is one of the most expensive books. The Russians sold the Codex Sinaiticus to England for $510,000 back at that time. It was a lot of money. The late scholar F.F. Bruce said, "There is no body of ancient literature in the world which enjoys such a wealth of good textual testation as the New Testament. It was written much closer to the origin than any other writings, as I've given you examples. The combination of quotes of just seven church fathers, listen carefully, 19,368 quotes of the gospel, 1,352 of the book of Acts, 14,035 of Paul's epistles, 870 general epistles, 664 of the book of Revelation, 36,289 of total quotes." Amazing. Maybe you've heard the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found down there in March of 1947, the Qumran Caves, 8 miles south of Jericho, dating back to 125 B.C., giving us a 1,000-year earlier manuscript than the one we possess. Other dates go back to 200 B.C., and when compared to the Masoretic text, the Hebrew text, they were the same, meaning the traditional text. And so the verification of all of this, Isaiah, the scroll, 1,000 years earlier, identical. The difference was just 8 minute letters. That's pretty good. That's a great testimony. The demand of the Bible, it is the most read book still. Published in more languages than any other, in portions or entire copies. About probably 70 years ago now, the British Foreign Bible Society, to meet their demands, had to publish the following, okay? This is back in 1980. One every 3 seconds, day and night. 22 copies every minute, day and night. 1,369 copies every hour, day and night. 32,876 copies every day and night of the Bible. No other book comes close to it. Amazing. Again, Dr. Stoner says, "What are the chances of Moses getting the 13 items of Genesis 1 all accurate and in satisfactory order, using the estimates that we have just suggested in the last two illustrations? We must multiply them all together. And as a result, we find that Moses had one chance." Listen carefully. Let me count this out. Now, let me see. 31 septillion. Then 135,000. I mean, you're talking 31 trillion quintillion with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 sets of three zeros, chance factor of getting both the items in order accurately. Now, to visualize this number, how staggering it is, think of a number of tickets. You would have to engage more than 8 million presses, each capable of printing 2,000 tickets per minute, and then they would have to run day and night for 5 million years to print the number of tickets. That's the chance factor. Now, let one ticket be marked out from all of them with a marker. Take it out there and bury it somewhere, and have a blind man find it and pull it up. You think the Bible's coincidence? Amazing. Gentlemen, is your confidence in the Word of God? And the God of the Bible? I hope so. Listen, if he said in the beginning God created and he just spoke things into being, do you think it's hard for him to transform your heart and to change you? Nope. Will he force you? No. The Bible is real. The Bible works. Here's the key. Ready? You have to die. If you don't die, it won't force you. If you don't die, nobody lives. If you die, everybody else lives. God saves us that we might die to self, gentlemen. Jesus went to the cross. He takes us to the cross. And when someone was taken to the cross, he never said to his wife, "Hey, give me a kiss. I'll be back Monday." He was never coming back. Ever. That's Christianity, gentlemen. He doesn't want you to be like you. He doesn't want me to be like me. He wants me to be more like him. And he can do it. But he will not do it against my will. God is so powerful. Just in the little stuff that I've given you. And I can stop him from acting in my life by not yielding. By saying, you know what? Not today. Wow. He respects your choice. Break his heart, but he'll respect your choice. Man. Which human book can you rely on as a final authority that's never been updated or will ever have to be updated? The Bible's never had any recall. The books I used when I was in Cal State LA in the 70s, if I went back with them, they'd laugh at me. They've been updated. Wow. What group of men in past history have agreed to die together for a lie in the generations thereafter? None. How do they explain the scriptures, the prophecies from Genesis to Revelation, fulfill? They can't. This overwhelming evidence marks the uniqueness of the Bible. Absolute uniqueness of the Bible. Let me leave you with the purpose of the Bible. It's very important. The Bible was not written as a science book. The Bible does not attempt to describe the things of creation in a technical way, but that God simply created. Genesis 1:1. The Bible does not bother to explain the details of the flood, but just simply records the fact that the entire world died. Do you ever think about that? 8 people were saved. The rest of the world died. Let me give you a simple principle for the rest of your life, gentlemen. Ready? The majority is always wrong. Okay? Real simple. Outside the church and inside the church. You must agree with God. That's the minority. Always a minority. 3 million came out of Exodus to enter the promised land over the age of 20. Wow. The Bible was not written to appeal to man's intellectual superiority primarily, but to reveal the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, for us to understand the Word of God, to believe God, having the mind of Christ. The Bible was not written to reveal man's need of himself, but his need of God, and to bring him to repentance. That's why God said he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever means anybody. Not like the Calvinists say that God only died for the elect. No, he didn't. He died for the whole world. The whole world. The whole world means the whole world. Don't change the whole world, the elect, for the world for elect. That's not dishonest to the scriptures. Leave it alone. The whole world's lost. The whole world needs salvation. He died for the whole world. That some reject it doesn't offend God. It doesn't do anything to the atonement. It's just their loss, right? He died for the ungodly. I presume you and I qualify, gentlemen. And because he's coming again to judge the world, he wants you to be ready. He's not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3:9, but they'll all come to repentance. But he knows not all will come. You and I, we have a wife. We have children, grandchildren, even if the Lord leaves a long life of great-grandchildren. Not all of them are going to be in heaven. Some of them are going to choose not to walk with God. That's heartbreaking. Can I force them? The only thing I can do is pray for them, warn them, and always confront them in their need to repent. God has no grandchildren. He only has sons and daughters. Wow. Professor M. Montier Williams said, "Pile them, if you will, on the left of your study, but place your own Holy Bible on the right side all by itself, all alone, and with a wide gap between them, for there is a gulf between it and the so-called books of the East, which severs the one from the other utterly, hopelessly, and forever." The Bible is not just a mere book. It is God's Word of absolute truth. Question is, do you see yourself as a sinner? Maybe some of you don't know Jesus Christ tonight. Romans 3:23 says that you're a sinner. Do you agree with him, or do you say, "No, I'm not"? Do you want to be saved? Then you can call on his name. Romans 10:9. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You heard the word of God tonight. Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe that God gave the word of God? Do you believe that what God says about you in the word of God? Or do you think that he's made a mistake? Do you believe when he says that if you repent from your sins, that he will put your sins in the deepest ocean, bury them there, behind his back, as far as east from the west? Thank God he didn't say north and south. And he will never mention them again. Do you believe that? You say, "Well, you don't know what I've done." I don't need to know what you've done, man. Paul killed Christians. Paul caused Christians to blaspheme. Paul took Christians to prison. God forgave him and made him whiter than snow. Do you know why the Bible says whiter than snow? Because every snowflake has a dirty heart, is wrapped around a speck of dust. The problem of your life and mine is not other people. It's not the world. It's my heart. The environment just helps me be a better sinner, smarter sinner, more evil sinner. The problem is my heart. God has to change my heart. The heart of man is deceitful, desperately wicked. Only God knows it. Jeremiah 17:9. And so, from your brain to your heart, gentlemen, you've got a million miles. God wants your heart. When he gets your heart, they can give you his mind. And he can work on your heart every day. Voltaire, the noted 18th century philosopher, said that it took centuries to build up Christianity, but I'll show you just what one Frenchman can destroy it all in 50 years. Taking a pen, he dipped it in ink of unbelief, and he wrote against God. 20 years after his death, the Geneva Bible Society purchased his house for printing the Bible, and it later became the Paris headquarters for the British and Foreign Bible Museum Society, and the Bible is still the bestseller. An entire six-volume set of Voltaire's books once sold for 90 cents. Just before his death, the noted atheist swore, quote, "I wish I had never been born." Wow. God's Word, gentlemen, it's an amazing weapon for you or against you. You get to choose. If you walk with God, you agree, you call upon him, he will enable you to be an incredible, godly husband, a father, a Christian, a brother, an asset to the church, that you will blow your own mind at what God can do through you. But you must reckon that old man dead every day. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he calls you to repentance. You must be born again first, or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Recognizing you're a sinner and rebelling against God, and that he died for your sins, and he paid the price of your sins on the cross, rose from the dead, and he signed it in blood, and he says he loves you, and he wants to forgive you and transform your life. But the choice is yours. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your grace and goodness. We love you. Thank you for tonight. And Lord, I pray for my brothers, your hand be upon them. And Lord, for those that are here that perhaps do not know you, we pray that you would speak to their hearts, you would woo them to yourself. Thank you for your grace over our life, Lord. As you're praying, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, maybe you've been coming for a long time. Maybe people think you're Christian, and yeah, what if I go up there? Then they'll know I'm not. It doesn't matter what people think. We're not important. Important is what has gotten.